As the rest of the world tries to figure out how to get more people to buy EVs as we transition from the early adopters to the mainstream buyers, Alberta, Canada, is going to charge a $200 a year EV tax. Huh? So Alberta has decided that in 2025, it is going to start charging a $200 a year vehicle registration tax on EVs. They say this is to help pay for road maintenance, and that, you know, EVs are heavier than traditional ICE vehicles, therefore they put more wear and tear on the roads. I'm not sure I'm buying that. A lot of ICE vehicles tend to be bigger than EVs. People choose smaller EVs because they go further. Where ICE vehicles, they tend to choose bigger and bigger and bigger ICE vehicles, which are quite heavy. Now, to be fair, the bigger the ICE vehicle, the more fuel they consume, the more tax they pay. That sounds pretty reasonable. Right off the hop, I'd like to say that I do not fundamentally disagree with the idea of a EV tax. It kind of makes sense. Like, EVs are vehicles on the road. Roads need to be maintained. EVs should contribute to that as well. But let's dig into it a bit deeper, and we'll get into a little bit of the background of what's going on in the Alberta story. First off, Alberta's not alone. Saskatchewan charges $150 a year in an EV tax to maintain the roads. And about 33 U.S. states do as well. And it's a topic of conversation in other jurisdictions, but it's a topic of conversation in other jurisdictions on the, hey, what are we going to do about the roads when there's more EVs than there are gas cars, right? That's kind of the idea, and they're exploring these ideas, and it'll eventually be some kind of registration tax. That makes perfect sense. But most people would say now is not the time. The U.S. states, Alberta and Saskatchewan, they tend to be anti-EV, anti-climate change, and in some way invested in the oil and gas economy. That tends to be a common thread that runs through a lot of these North American jurisdictions that impose things like an EV tax early. To quote the Alberta EV Association President William York, this seems like an ideological move. First off the top, let's talk about fuel taxes and road maintenance. How much does Alberta collect in fuel taxes? It's a little hard to say because I dug and I dug and I dug. And while they talk about fuel taxes here and there, usually it's about how they are cutting the fuel tax for all of 2023 as a support for people of Alberta to help them with the inflation crisis and so on. That's great. But they don't actually say how much they collect. But they do charge about somewhere between 9 and 13 cents per liter, depending on where you look and which year. Now, the federal government is very clear. They charge 10 cents a liter, and they collect about $5 billion annually. Now, if you look at Alberta as a percentage of the country, that means Alberta is collecting somewhere between $400 and $500 million when they're actually collecting in gas taxes. Now, that would be to maintain the roads. And here's one of the fictions of the gas tax. People think the roads are maintained by their gas tax. Well, it isn't. Gas taxes are just another tax. It goes into general revenue, and then when the government decides the budget, they say, okay, so much for roads and bridges, and so much for healthcare, and you know, so much for, stoplights, this kind of thing. They don't necessarily match, and in fact, they never do. Roads and bridges are extraordinarily expensive things, especially in Canada, where we have winter every year, and it tends to be very hard on things like roads and bridges. The Alberta budget says they spend about $2.3 billion a year on transportation infrastructure, of which the majority is roads and bridges. Now, say 500 million gas tax and 2.3 billion in expenditures, these things don't add up. So where do you think the rest comes from? Income tax. So if you think EV owners are not contributing to the roads, well, they certainly are. They pay income tax like anybody else. And sounds like about 3/4 to 4/5 of the cost of maintaining the roads comes out of income tax. So are they really getting off such a good deal there? Well, no, they're not. They get a bit better deal because they're driving an EV and they're helping the environment. Now, there's a win-win, right? We want to help the environment. We want to encourage people to drive EVs. So we sacrifice the gas tax in the short term. That's your background on how the gas taxes are in pretty much any jurisdiction on the planet. They never add up. Roads and bridges are simply too expensive to put that on the gas tax. They should. It might make people think more about what they drive, but they don't. My big problem with this gas tax is that it will create a barrier to buying EVs at a time when we're trying to encourage people to make the switch. The early adopters have now bought all the EVs that they want. Now you're getting people coming into dealerships that have questions and concerns. They hear the FUD. They talk to their neighbor. The neighbor says it's good. The neighbor on the other side says they're terrible, even though he's never driven an EV. We have to combat that. One of the ways we do that is by keeping the cost as low as possible. It is currently still fairly expensive to buy an EV. Until that economy of scale works its way into the EV building space to a greater degree, it will still be more expensive to buy an EV than it is an ICE car. But that is only in the short term. And it is much cheaper to operate them, even with a $200 a year EV tax. Hey, if you think this information has been valuable to you, do me a favor. Tap that like button and help spread the word to the rest of YouTube. Thanks. The reason people think this is an ideological move by the Alberta government is because this government has always taken pains to do whatever they could to harm the transition from oil and gas to an electrified, clean, green future. They just don't like anything green. Just in the last year, they put a moratorium on new wind farm and solar installations in Alberta, a province that's ideally suited for both of those things. They're windy and sunny a lot of the time. But they were experiencing problems integrating it into the grid. Everywhere else seems to be able to figure out how to do it, but Alberta's having problems integrating it into the grid. And their new rules are concerned about pristine landscape sight lines and tourism being affected by windmills and solar farms. And, putting solar farms on pristine agricultural land is a problem as well. Now, agreed, you should not be putting solar farms on agricultural land. You should be growing food on land that can grow food. But you can easily put a windmill on that land. Typically speaking, the farmers are in favor of those windmills. It's the neighbor that didn't get the windmill that's upset. Because if you put a windmill on your property, you are collecting thousands of dollars in rent for that postage stamp of property that the windmill is on. That is your most profitable chunk of land by far compared to the rest of your acreage. So yeah, they want the windmills. It's the people that don't have the windmills that do the NIMBY thing. Oh, right. This is Alberta. This is the land of pristine landscapes and natural resource extraction that is done in the most environmentally friendly and sightly ways, like this beautiful industrial hellscape. Or how about this giant hole in the ground? Or maybe this oil sands hole in the ground? Or how about the entire Athabascan oil sands as seen from space. Courtesy of NASA. You know, NASA, that hippy-dippy green environmental organization that has that agenda. Well, no. NASA. The ones that do this and have been doing that for the better part of a century, spewing gases into the environment that are also harmful to the environment. That said, you know, I am a proponent of space exploration, because when we destroy this planet, we're going to need somewhere else to go. So I guess we have to sacrifice something to secure our future. I guess I'm in a funny mood today. Levity aside, this is a serious issue. EV owners should expect to pay a road tax. They should expect to contribute to the maintenance of the roads that they drive on. I don't think it should be a $200 road tax. I think when we start taxing EVs, it should be a mileage tax. Road taxes if you think about your fuel tax, it is inherently linked to how much mileage you put in, how big a vehicle you drive, right? The bigger the vehicle, the more kilometers you drive, the more fuel tax you'll pay. I think EVs should be geared the same way. Smaller EV, lower cost fuel tax based by weight, right? Smaller weights to higher weights. Based on your model, your weight is X, you should be paying, you know, half a cent a kilometer, quarter cent a kilometer, 1 cent a kilometer, 2 cents a kilometer, whatever it is, multiplied by how many kilometers you drove from this year to next year, or last year to this year. That's what it is. We can't do the future thing, right? Isn't that the best way to do it? Doesn't that make the most sense? And we should be doing it when the curve of adoption reaches a point where it is a self-driving thing, where when people go to a dealership, A, they have choices to choose from. They can choose an EV or they could choose an ICE car, but they have the choices. It's not like now where I need a car today and there's just no EVs on the lot. That's not a good situation. We need to encourage people to buy EVs still, and we need to encourage the manufacturers to make them. So we need to have consistent messaging. Once Canada and many other countries have brought in EV mandates, meaning, for example, in Canada, we have to have 20% of new cars sold being EVs by 2025. And by 2030, that goes up to, I believe, 60%. It was in a previous episode. I think at 2030, when the new car sales are 60%, that's when everybody should be bringing in EV taxes, and they should be graduated taxes, as I outlined. EV owners want to pay their fair share, and they already are paying somewhere between 3/4 and 4/5 of their fair share, that income tax that goes to the roads. But right now is not the time to add on an EV tax. It's bad optics, and it might make people make the wrong choice when they're buying their next vehicle. I know it's a balancing act between working towards preventing climate change or preventing it from getting worse and paying for the infrastructure of today. But I tell you this, the worse climate change gets, the more we're all going to pay. And that is going to be a nightmare. See you again in a week.